Welcome to this video, the ins and outs of Windows App Studio. In this video, I'm going to give you a guided tour of all the key features of App Studio, a web-based tool that you can use to build store-ready apps for Windows and Windows Phone. App Studio also enables you to download the source code of your app if you want to make further customizations using Visual Studio, but that feature is outside the scope of what I'm going to cover in this first video. By the end of this video, you will have seen everything you need to know to start creating apps. App Studio is a web-based tool, so I'm starting at the site http://appstudio.windowsphone.com/. If I click on the Start New Project link, I can sign into App Studio using my Microsoft account. If you don't already have a Microsoft account, you can sign up for one at https://signup.live.com. When I sign in, App Studio displays all my existing apps on the My Projects page. However, in this video, I want to show you how to create a brand new app from scratch, so I'll go ahead and click on the Start New Project button. Just before I do that, remember, you can always get back to your list of apps at any time by clicking on that My Projects link. Now, I'm on the Choose Your Template screen, I can view all the available templates. I can choose one of the pre-built templates as a starting point for my own app, or create one from scratch. If I click on one of the templates, such as My City, Menu, My Hero, or Sports Team, I can explore the template in this preview simulator to understand what the template contains. For this video, I'm focusing on creating a Windows Phone app and not a Windows app. However, for this video, I'm going to start from scratch, so I'll click on the Empty App template to create an empty app. I'm now at the first of the four tabs where I designed my app. You can see the four tabs near the top of the screen, and you'll see that I can switch between them. The app I'm going to create will display information about my upcoming trip to Venice, so I'm going to start filling this page out with suitable data. Visit Venice in the title box. And I'll upload a PNG image I prepared earlier to use as my app's logo. You can see here that I can upload a PNG file from my computer or from my OneDrive account. You can also use one of the images provided by App Studio, but we recommend creating a unique image for each app. Think of it as your logo. This image will also, by default, be used on the app's tile that appears on the start screen of the phone, and I'll show you more about customizing the tile later. Typically, you also use the same image to represent your app in the App Store, but for that you need a 300 by 300 pixel version. For the best quality, you should start with a 300 by 300 pixel image, and then scale it down to 160 by 160 pixels to use as a logo. You can use many free programs such as Microsoft Paint to scale down photos and images. Although I'm using a PNG image, you can also upload JPEG images, which App Studio will convert to PNG format. While I'm making the changes, you may have noticed that the preview image over here has been updating. This helps you to make sure that your information will display correctly when the app is installed on a real phone. The preview isn't perfect, but it gives you a really good indication of what your app will look like. Next, I want to start adding some sections to my app. This is the page where you define your app's content. An app created with App Studio is organized using sections, where each section contains a particular type of data. For example, one section might hold a collection of images, while another holds a collection of news articles, and another might simply be text that you enter directly into App Studio. Users of your app can navigate through your sections by swiping left and right on the main screen of the app. I can create a new section by clicking on the component I want to use for the section from either the basic or advanced sets. Notice that an app is limited to 6 sections in total, so it's a good idea to plan in advance what your sections are going to be, although you can come back and add or remove sections later. As well as sections that hold content such as images, videos, and news articles, there are also menu sections. A menu holds a collection of links, either links to information stored externally to your app, such as websites and phone numbers, or links to other sections in your app. I'm going to go ahead and create a section that contains a photo gallery. To add a section that contains some pictures, I'll click on the Flickr component to add a new section. I'll give the section a name, configure my Flickr user ID to show the pictures in my photo stream, and confirm the addition. Instead of using a Flickr user ID, I can provide a search term for the pictures I want to display. If I click Edit, I can customize the section further. On this page, I can choose the layouts for the list and detail pages in the section. I'm going to choose slightly larger thumbnails for the listing page and a larger picture for the detail page. I can also modify the search terms if I click on Data. When I'm happy with the results, I'll return to my list of sections. Now, I'm going to add another section that contains a collection of videos from YouTube. I'll give the new section a name and customize the list of videos from YouTube that my app displays by entering either a YouTube username or a search term. I'll click Confirm when I'm done. I'll save my new section. I can edit the pages for my video section in the same way that I could edit the pages for my picture section. I can add or remove detail pages and select different layouts. Notice that if I click on Data, I can modify the criteria used to select the videos. Next, I'm going to add a section that shows news from the Venice Biennale Festival. To do this, I'm adding a section with an RSS data source. Many news sites and blogs use RSS as a way to publish articles to subscribers as they become available. This is a great way to add a data source that stays up to date with the latest news on a topic. Here, I'm adding the address of an RSS newsfeed from the New York Times. Again, when I'm happy with this, I'll click Confirm to save it. So now, you can see news from the Biennale Festival as one of the sections in the app. The app will check for new articles and display them as and when they're published. And again, if I want to change how the information is displayed, I can edit the page layouts for this section. I'm going to add another section that displays results from a Bing search. I'm going to use Bing to look for events that are happening in Venice. As with an RSS data source, this type of data source updates automatically because the app executes the search when the app is running on the device. For the search, I'm specifying the country and then providing a search string. I'll click Confirm when I'm done. I'll save the new section. If I want to modify the layout for this page, I'll click on Edit. Notice that there's only one layout for the search results. On the Data page, I can modify the search criteria. The next section I'm going to create is an About the Author section that says a bit about the app and the author. For this, I'm going to use an HTML component. I can create the content for my page using this editor. I can use the formatting buttons to apply basic HTML formatting to my content. If I want to, I can also edit the HTML directly by clicking here. A useful tip for creating content in an HTML data source is that you can cut and paste from an existing website and keep the formatting. Let me save this new section. To add a menu to my app, I'll expand the Advanced Sections section, click on Menu, and give it a name. If I click on Edit, I can customize the appearance of my menu and see in the preview how it will look on a real phone. I'm going to click on Save, then go back to my list of sections. If I click on this down arrow, I can add items to my menu. I'm going to choose a menu action, but I could also add other sections to my menu, such as a gallery of images or video. Each menu action item has a name and details of the action to perform. This first action will be a link to the Venice Connected website. I'll add a name for the action and set the URL of the website. Then I'll click Confirm to save it. After I've created the menu action, I can customize it further by clicking on Edit Item. Here, I can modify the link text displays in the app and add an icon. Then I'll click Save to save the changes. I'll click on the down arrow on the menu action component again. And this time, I'll add an action item that can dial the help desk for the train company. I'll edit this menu item to add an icon image. And finally, I'll add an action that will help me to send an email to Jane, my trip organizer. You can see while I'm selecting the email action type that other actions include displaying a location on a map and playing music on my phone. I've now created three actions on my menu. At this point on the main sections page, you can see I've reached the maximum number of sections. I still have one more important section to add, so I'll delete the section that contains videos of singing gondoliers. For this last section, I'm going to use the collection component to create a mini database of museums in Venice. I can define the data that my collection will hold here. I'm going to start by adding a set of default columns for my data by clicking here. I'm going to add a new column called Address to store each museum's address. Notice I can choose between all these different types for each column. I can also say whether the value can have multiple lines. I'm also going to add a column to store a phone number. When I finish with the column definitions, I'll click Confirm to save them. To add data to my collection, I'll click Edit. Next, I need to add some data, so I'll click on Data and then Edit Data. Add some details and then click Save. To speed up entering the data, you can use the import and export feature. First, I'm going to click Export Data to export my single item to a file. I'll save the file on my local hard drive. I can then open the file in a text editor to add more records, following the format of the existing records in the file. Notice how each field is surrounded by quotation marks and that there is a semicolon between each field. To save time, I'm going to paste a set of records I created earlier. Note that the image column is empty. I need to upload the images separately using App Studio. Back in App Studio, I'll click on Import Data and select the CSV file I edited. I'll upload the image for each museum. And then accept the new records by clicking Save. One other important thing to note is that you can't add or remove columns after you've created any items. However, you could export your items, edit your column definitions, add new column data into your CSV file, and then re-import your items. The other important decision I have to make about my collection data source is whether it should be a static resource or a dynamic resource. If I choose static resource, then the items are embedded in the app. The app can display the items without needing an internet connection, but I can't change a collection without regenerating the app and redistributing it to all my users. On the other hand, using dynamic resource means that the items are stored in the cloud. The app needs an internet connection to display them, but I can edit the collection within App Studio and have the changes automatically picked up by all of my users because the app loads the collection from the data service in the cloud. I'm going to change my data source to use a dynamic resource. I want to show you one last feature in page layout design. I'm going to use these bindings to configure what information from the collection is displayed on the list of museums. Notice how to preview updates. I'm also going to edit the detail page layout for my museum's collection. In addition to being able to map other columns from my data source into the placeholders on the page layout, I can also map columns that have particular data types, such as a phone number, to actions on the page. In this example, by clicking on an icon of a phone, a user will be able to dial the museum's information number. Clicking on another icon will display the museum's location on a map. Let me save the changes. Now I've defined the content for my app, it's time to make a few changes to how it looks. Just before I start making changes to the color scheme and other user interface elements, I want to change the order of my section on the main section screen. I can do this by dragging the sections to a new location. When I'm done, I'll save the changes and click Themes to move on to styling my app. On the Themes page, I can change the colours of various key user interface elements. I can either use the standard dark or light styles, or choose a custom set of colours, but I must be careful not to choose combinations of colours that make it hard to read my content. Notice how the preview display updates to reflect my choices. If you select the custom style, you can choose a background image, but again, be careful that your text remains legible. It's best to use an image that is very dark and use light text, or use an image that is very light and use dark text. The ideal image size is 800 pixels wide by 498 pixels high. I'll save the changes. On the Tiles tab, I can change the appearance and behaviour of the tile that represents the app on the phone's start screen. The flip template enables me to customise the front and back of a tile with different content. The cycle template cycles through up to 9 images from one of the collection sections in my app. If you have a section that uses an App Studio data service collection, then you can update the images on your users' phones by editing the content of the data service in App Studio. This tile uses a scheduled task that enables your app to execute code in the background, even if your app is not running in the foreground on the phone. The iconic template shows a single image with customizable text for 3 different sizes of tile. For my app, I'm going to select the cycle template and configure it like this. The final optional configuration choices for my App Studio app are for splash and lock screen background images. The splash screen displays while the app is loading, and the lock screen displays if a user chooses the app as the phone's lock screen. If you create your own custom images, they should be 720 by 1280 pixels in size. You can upload these images from your computer or from your SkyDrive account. I'm using the same image for both in my app. I'll save the changes. On the Publish Info tab, I'm going to complete some information in preparation for publishing my app to the store. I'll add a description, select a language, and optionally include an About dialog, and choose whether or not to enable ads in my app. I also need to associate my app with the store. I've gone ahead and provided the necessary information for this dialog box. More information will be provided about this in the video, Get Your App Ready to Go to Market. For now, let me quickly show you where I obtain the information. I will open the Dev Center link in a new tab and switch to that tab. I will use the dashboard link to get a quick view of my developer account. Select the Apps link. I have already reserved the name for this app, so I will select the app to get more details on it. The Details tab has the information I need. In the app properties displayed here, you will find the information required to associate your app with the store. Let me return to App Studio and save the changes. Clicking Finish brings me to the page where I can generate my app. Here, I can choose to create an app for Windows Phone 8 that will run on phones with Windows Phone 8 or Windows Phone 8.1. Or, I can choose the option on the right to build a universal Windows app that will run on any phone, tablet or PC running Windows 8.1. For the purposes of this video, we will create a Windows Phone 8.0 app. It takes App Studio a few minutes to generate the app, and when it's done, it'll send me a notification email. Now that the app is ready, I have a couple of options. If I want to try out the app on my phone, I should make sure I've already installed the App Studio certificate. When I signed up for App Studio, I received an email with the instructions for installing the certificate on my phone. I've already installed the certificate, so I could go ahead and install the app on my phone by simply scanning the QR code from the screen. If you didn't do this, App Studio will prompt you to download the certificate when you sideload the app by scanning the QR code or clicking the download link from Internet Explorer on the phone. You'll notice when you sideload the app that you see the Tap to Open page in Internet Explorer on the phone. When you tap it, it will prompt you with the Install Company App dialog. When you click Install, the app is installed in the background. When you return to the Internet Explorer page, you don't need to tap to open a second time. When you click the Start button and swipe to the Apps page, the installed app will be in the list. If I'm planning to publish my app in the Windows Phone App Store, I can download the Publish Package, XAP file, from here. Alternatively, I can download the source code if I plan to make further enhancements to the app using Visual Studio. The next video, how to get to the source code and make a modification, will help you get started with this. Or I can share my app with friends and colleagues by clicking one of the Share It options. Before I finish, I want to show you what the app looks like running. I've already downloaded the app and I'm running it in the emulator rather than on a real phone because it's easier to show in this video. You can see the tile I defined on the phone start screen, and when I launch the app, you'll see the splash screen as it loads. As I navigate through the app, you can see the various sections I defined. Here, you can see the list of museums I added in my collection. I'll go back to the museum collection in App Studio and make a change by adding a new item and saving it. Because this collection uses App Studio data services, I should see the new entry in the app on the phone as soon as I click refresh or restart the app. I'll return to the app and refresh the page. You can see that the new item has appeared. It would also show up automatically the next time the user launched the app. If I click on one of the museum entries, the information is displayed on the detail page. I can navigate between entries by swiping left and right. I don't need to return to the list page first. If I had defined multiple detail pages for the section, then swiping would navigate between the different pages for the entry. Having multiple detail pages is useful if your collection has more than four columns, because you can display different column data on different pages. You can also see the action items, show the location on a map and phone the museum, that I defined using the action binding. Clicking on the phone number enables me to dial the number, and clicking on the location item would show the location on a map. Thanks for watching this video. If you want to learn more about extending and enhancing your app using Visual Studio, then watch the next video, how to get to the source code and make a modification. Have fun and build some great apps.